As she spoke, the thousands of little bells and chimes which covered her from head to toe tinkled softly, and as if in reply, the telephone began to ring too. For someone who loves silence, she certainly talks a great deal, thought Milo. At one time, I was able to listen to any sound made at any place at any time, the soundkeeper remarked, pointing towards the radio wall. But now I merely... Pardon me, interrupted Milo as the phone continued to ring, but aren't you going to answer it? Oh, no, not in the middle of the program, she replied, and turned the silence up a little louder. But it may be important, insisted Milo. Not at all, she assured him. It's only me. It gets so lonely around here, with no sounds to distribute or collect, that I call myself 7 or 8 times a day just to see how I am. How are you? He asked politely. Not very well, I'm afraid. I seem to have a touch of static, she complained. But what brings you here? Of course, you've come to tour the vaults. Well, they're usually open to the public only on Mondays from 2 to 4, but since you've travelled so far, we'll have to make an exception. Follow me, please. She quickly bounced to her feet with a chorus of jingles and chimes and started down the hallway. Don't you just love jingles and chimes? I do, she answered quickly. Besides, they're very convenient, for I'm always getting lost in this big fortress, and all I have to do is listen for them, and then I know exactly where I am. They entered a tiny cage-like elevator and traveled down for fully 3/4 of a minute, stopping finally in an immense vault, whose long lines of file drawers and storage bins stretched in all directions from where here began to where there ended, and from floor to ceiling. Every sound that's ever been made in history is kept here, said the soundkeeper, skipping down one of the corridors with Milo in hand. For instance, look here. She opened one of the drawers and pulled out a small brown envelope. This is the exact tune George Washington whistled when he crossed the Delaware on that icy night in 1777. Milo peered into the envelope, and sure enough, that's exactly what was in it. But why do you collect them all? He asked as she closed the drawer. If we didn't collect them, the soundkeeper said as they continued to stroll through the vault, the air would be full of old sounds and noises bouncing around and bumping into things. It would be terribly confusing, because you'd never know whether you were listening to an old one or a new one. Besides, I do like to collect things, and there are more sounds than almost anything else. Why, I have everything here from the buzz of a mosquito 1 million years ago to what your mother said to you this morning. And if you come back here in 2 days, I'll tell you what she said tomorrow. It's really very simple. Let me show you. Say a word, any word. Hello, said Milo, for that was all he could think of. Now, where do you think it went? She asked with a smile. I don't know, said Milo, shrugging his shoulders. I always thought that... Most people do, she hummed, peering down one of the corridors. Now let me see. First we find the cabinet with today's sounds. Ah, here it is. Then we look under G for greetings, then under M for Milo, and here it is, already in its envelope. So you see, the whole system is quite automatic. It's a shame we hardly use it anymore. That's wonderful, gasped Milo. May I have one little sound as a souvenir? Certainly, she said with pride, and then immediately thinking better of it, added, not. And don't try to take one, because it's strictly against the rules. Milo was crestfallen. He had no idea how to steal a sound, even the smallest one, for the soundkeeper always had at least one eye carefully focused on him. Now for a look at the workshops, she cried, whisking him through another door and into a large, abandoned laboratory full of old pieces of equipment, all untended and rusting. This is where we used to invent the sounds, she said wistfully. Do they have to be invented? Asked Milo, who seemed surprised at almost everything she told him. I thought they just were. No one realizes how much trouble we go through to make them, she complained. Why, at one time, this shop was crowded and busy from morning to night. But how do you invent a sound? Milo inquired. Oh, that's very easy, she said. First, you must decide exactly what the sound looks like, for each sound has its own exact shape and size. Then you make some of them here in the shop, and grind each one 3 times into an invisible powder, and throw a little of each into the air every time you need it. But I've never seen a sound, Milo insisted. You never see them out there, she said, waving her arm in the general direction of everywhere. except every once in a while on a very cold morning when they freeze. But in here we see them all the time. Here, let me show you." She picked up a padded stick and struck a nearby bass drum 6 times. 6 large, woolly, fluffy cotton balls, each about 2 feet across, rolled silently out onto the floor. "You see," she said, putting some of them into a large grinder. "Now listen." And she took a pinch of the invisible powder and threw it into the air with a boom, 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 boom. "Do you know what a hand clap looks like?" Milo shook his head. "Try it," she commanded. He clapped his hands once, and a single sheet of clean white paper fluttered to the floor. He tried it 3 more times, and 3 more sheets of paper did the very same thing. And then he applauded as fast as he could, and a great cascade of papers filled the air. "Isn't that simple? And it's the same for all sounds. If you think about it, you'll soon know what each one looks like. Take laughter, for instance," she said, laughing brightly, and 1,000 tiny, brightly colored bubbles flew into the air and popped noiselessly. "Or speech," she continued. "Some of it is light and airy, some sharp and pointed, but most of it, I'm afraid, is just heavy and dull." "How about music?" asked Milo excitedly. "Right over here, we weave it on our looms. Symphonies are the large, beautiful carpets with all the rhythms and melodies woven in. Concertos are these tapestries, and all the other bolts of cloth are serenades, waltzes, overtures, and rhapsodies. And we also have some of the songs that you often sing," she cried, holding up a handful of brightly colored handkerchiefs. She stopped for a moment and said sadly, "We even had one section over there that did nothing but put the sound of the ocean into seashells. This was once such a happy place."
"Then why don't you make sound for everyone now?" he shouted, so eagerly that the soundkeeper leaped back in surprise.
"Don't shout so, young man. If there's one thing we need more of around here, it's less noise. Now come with me and I'll tell you all about it, and put that down immediately." Her last remark was directed toward Milo's efforts to stuff one of the large drum beats into his back pocket. They returned quickly to the parlor, and when the soundkeeper had settled herself in a chair and carefully tuned the radio to a special hour of hush, Milo asked his question once again in a somewhat lower voice. "It doesn't make me happy to hold back the sounds," she began softly, "for if we listen to them carefully, they can sometimes tell us things far better than words." "But if that is so," asked Milo, and he had no doubt that it was, "shouldn't you release them?"
"Never," she cried. "They just use them to make horrible noises which are ugly to see and worse to hear. I leave all that to Dr. Discord and that awful, awful din."
"But some noises are good sounds, aren't they?" he insisted.
"That may be true," she replied stubbornly, "but if they won't make the sounds that I like, they won't make any."
"But," he started to say, and it got no further than that. For while he was about to say that he didn't think that that was quite fair, a thought to which the obstinate soundkeeper might not have taken kindly, he suddenly discovered the way he would carry his little sound from the fortress. In the instant between saying the word and before it sailed off into the air, he had clamped his lips shut, and the "but" was trapped in his mouth, all made, but not spoken.
"Well, I mustn't keep you all day," she said impatiently. "Now turn your pockets out so that I can see that you didn't steal anything and you can be on your way."
When he had satisfied the soundkeeper, he nodded his farewell, for it would have been most impractical to say thank you or good afternoon, and raced out the door.